Chris Carter here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Today, we've got Ray Fittipaldi's mock draft 3.0. Who does he have the Steelers taking now that we are getting oh so close to the NFL draft? We are in the month of April. It's going to be a fun episode breaking down all these picks and the reasoning behind raising some of my questions about why he's picking certain players in certain spots. All that here and more. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with one of our great Steelers beat writers, Ray Fittipaldi, and we'll be breaking all things down on the Pittsburgh Steelers and looking more specifically at Ray Fittipaldi's 3.0 mock draft, which you can read in the Post-Gazette on Thursday. This is the Wednesday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast. As always, you can find the show in your favorite podcasting apps and YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all our Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers right here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And our show, as always, is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you're getting to experience the best bar because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. Mike's Beer Bar is the place that you got to get to. We'll have more on that later. Ray, you have your 3.0 mock draft. Now, as of recording, it is not dropped, so technically you could go up in here and change some things if you really wanted to. But I like the pace of your pickings. I think it kind of tracks with the needs that we've been talking about here. But I wanted to give you the chance to kind of reveal, especially your first round pick. You're doing this pick. I assume you're doing no trades, right? Like there's no trades involved in this scenario. Explain who you picked in the first round for the Steelers, or who you project the Steelers to pick in the first round. Your reasoning for that.
Yeah, so I have them standing pat at 20. Obviously, that could change like it did last year. They can try to move up or try to move down. But assuming they stay at number 20 for the third mock in a row, one, two, and three, I picked an offensive lineman. I am taking right tackle Amarius Mims out of Georgia. He's one of the he's one of the bigger and more athletic tackles in this class, doesn't have a lengthy resume due to injuries and him coming out early. But if you want to look at potential down the road, he's certainly a guy who could be a nice bookend for Broderick Jones if they're able to grab him at number 20.
I mean, heck, they've been bookends, right? Like they have that experience together. But okay, so Amarius Mims, personally, I think it's a great fit. It's exactly what the Steelers are looking for. Powerful, aggressive, athletic tackles who can, you know, if him and Broderick Jones are the guys of the future and they become the next, one of the best tackle punches, one-two punches in the NFL, awesome. They've hit on that, and the offensive line looks like it has a nice core to build around for the future. But there are some drawbacks to Amarius Mims that make people wonder, is he worth the pick at 20? Is that a mistake? And some people look at, he only started eight games. You know, he has an injury history, you know, all those things. Ray, what about his profile, to explain to our listeners and viewers here, kind of washes that away for you and says like, hey, like you got to go get this guy?
Yeah. Listen, number one, the Steelers are interested. They went to Georgia's pro day as they always do. Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan were down there. I believe Arthur Smith and Terrell Austin were down there too. That's how much respect the Steelers have for the players in that program. Mm-hmm. And Amarius Mims was also in for a visit. I believe a couple of weeks ago. He's one of the first top 30 visits that the Steelers had. And you're right, Chris. There are some injuries in his short stint as a college player. And the lack of experience, really, that could be a concern for some teams. But when you look at his frame, when you look at the way he tested, I want to say he ran like 5-1 something at the combine. When you look at his athletic profile, the way he moves, and I think the confidence that the Steelers have in developing offensive linemen, I think some of those concerns can maybe be, massaged away, if you will. But, yeah, undoubtedly that's something that NFL teams are debating right now. You know, do you want to take the guy with, 2 and 3 years of college experience, that guy who maybe doesn't quite fit the athletic profile of a guy like Mims? Or do you want to shoot for the stars and say, hey, if we develop this guy can turn into a Pro Bowl player for us?
Mike Tomlin certainly talked about that in the Pivot podcast last offseason when he was like, say, like, I run to coaching in those situations, you know, coaching up guys. And I mean, listen, Broderick Jones, one of his biggest knocks last year was he was raw. And there were some people that speculated, I don't know if he'll be polished enough in the NFL. If that, and the Steelers certainly, at least in a rookie season, got a lot out of him. In what they like to do. So I think that it makes a lot of sense to go in that direction. I think that certainly he's been one of the more discussed guys, and he's also been one of the more looked at guys. You know, he's been a top 30 visit. They talked to him at the combine. He met with Mike Tomlin. Like there's a lot of connections to show that Marius Mims makes a lot of sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers here in the first round. In your mocks, was Marius Mims the only player on was he the top tackle left on the board there? Or well, not, I guess he obviously was your top tackle, but were there other tackles there that would have made you think twice about him, like a J.C. Latham or a Troy Fotanu, in your estimations of how this mock would work?
Yeah, so if you look at my first two mock drafts, the first one I had center Jackson Powers Johnson. The second one I had Troy Fotanu from Washington. So I think J.C. Latham is probably going to be off the board. I think if J.C. Latham were there, Chris, I think, you know, they would have to think long and hard about taking Latham over Mims. I feel the same way about Talias Fuaga, who sometimes you see in the top 10, certainly in the top 15. But I think it's noteworthy that the Steelers had him in for a top 30 visit. They obviously like him a lot. And I think he's on their radar as well. So for whatever reason, let's say he drops to 20, or let's say there is some trade-up scenario where Fuaga is there at, you know, 15 or 16, then maybe the Steelers make a move. So there are guys like Latham and Fuaga who I think are better players and higher ranked than Mims. I just don't think if the Steelers are going to stand pat at 20, I don't think those guys will be available for them to pick.
I think that's the big question here is that situation. But I think comparing it to last year, they had to go up and get Broderick Jones. And he was kind of like the last, like if you remember like Darnell Wright and some of the guys that they were talking about last year, he was the last of that upper tier of tackles. That group of upper tier tackles is, I think, bigger this year. Like Joe Alt's going to be the first off the board, probably going top 10. Like I think he's going seventh overall to the Titans, just my personal fits. Then after Joe Alt, you got Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. I think he could go top 12, top 15. And then you start getting to, in my book, Talisa Fuaga's in that conversation. J.C. Latham's in that conversation. And then you get to Amarius Mims. But, like, they're all part of this top tier where I think, like, if you get any one of those guys, those are players that will start at some point this year, if not right away. And so,
I think even if you wanted to extend it to a guy like Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, yes, you could have as many, as six offensive tackles taken in the first round. Look at early second round guys, Jordan Morgan from Arizona. There is that first tier, Chris, but there are also guys who are going to go off the board late first, early second, who I think are going to be good long-time starters in the NFL as well.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Ray's other picks, though, because how the board shakes out the rest of the way down is very interesting to me as far as the other Steelers. Because that's the other thing. Steelers have lots of needs. They can go in lots of different directions. Some people might think the offensive tackle isn't the move. Where do they get center? We'll go over the rest of Ray's mock draft here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. You go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and you'll see they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. They also have over 20 televisions, so you can catch any sporting event that you want. If you had a chance to enjoy March Madness, whether it's the men's or the women's brackets, you've been able to do that at Mike's Beer Bar for every single game. They have all the games on the TV, and it's a great place to catch all the sports. And with the Buccos returning to town, there's no better place to go in pregame for the Pirates, who, as of recording this episode, the Pirates are still undefeated in baseball. Go to Mike's Beer Bar for before the games, after the games, or for away games too. It's a great experience all around. And don't forget, on April 25th and April 26th, for the first 2 days of the NFL draft, we will be at Mike's Beer Bar doing a live draft show. So you want to go to Mike's Beer Bar, experience that, and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down on Ray Fittipaldo's 3.0 mock draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, Ray, reveal to the world, who was your second round pick at 51st overall for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, another guy who has been to Pittsburgh for a top 30 visit. He was actually in on Tuesday, Chris, and that's Western Kentucky receiver Malachi Corley. He's a guy who's been referred to as the Yak King, drawing comparisons to Deebo Samuel and some other receivers of that ilk. So, you know, when I look at Corley and I look at the Steelers' current receivers room, I kind of think a guy like him would be a nice complement to a guy like George Pickens, who is more of your, you know, run deep, big play down the field, classic deep threat kind of a guy. Then you get a guy like Corley who's going to be able to operate closer to the line of scrimmage. I think it not only fills a need for the Steelers, it fills a specific need within that receivers corps.
I think that it's a very interesting fit with Corley's skill set. He's not a tall guy. He's like 5'11"-ish or like right around that range, but he's a route runner. He's a guy, like you said, he's an interesting fit. And I think this goes into the conversation, what kind of receiver do the Steelers want to get in this draft? And they might get two receivers. Like, you know, like that's also something to not rule out here with Deontay Johnson departing, and it looks like they're not getting Tyler Boyd. They've gotten guys like Van Jefferson, and they've been able to get other guys like that. I look at that. What makes him stand out versus, like, you know, more of a pure outside receiver, like a guy, not that this guy would be gone in the first round and this would be someone that you take 20th overall, but like a Brian Thomas who projects more like a, hey, that can be a guy who lines up on the outside with George Pickens. Why is Corley an interesting fit for you there?
Yeah, I just think when you're building your skill positions, I think you need different flavors and guys who can fill different roles within your offense. I mean, they certainly could go the route. Pick a guy at number 20. That guy could be like 1A and 1B with George Pickens. But, you know, I kind of feel like George Pickens can be a 1A and a very good number one receiver in the right offense. And we'll see if he's, able to achieve that in Arthur Smith's offense. I just like, you know, Corley, he's able to break tackles. Another comparison that's been made to him, and this is going back a few years, it's Anquan Boldin. So, he's a bigger, stockier receiver too. So he's not like, you know, people think small, he's only 5'11". He's not like Calvin Austin.
Yeah.
He's not this little scat back type of receiver.
Too.
He's a guy who could break tackles.
Yeah.
Has great run after the catch ability. And like I said, I just think it's something that this offense lacks right now. And if you're really looking to build a complete offense, I think you need different types of players. And I think, he certainly would fit the bill there.
I think it'd be very interesting to get him in the second round, and particularly because this is a very deep wide receiver class. Like if you look at all the wide receivers out there, you know, in this, I'll ask you a similar question that I asked about the tackles. Who were the other receivers still on the board that maybe you passed on for over Malachi Corley? Like was a Roman Wilson or a Ricky Pearsall or like a Keon Coleman? Were any of those guys available in your mock or was Malachi taking over them or was in your book? Do you think there's going to be a serious run at wide receiver that makes him kind of like the best option left? After a lot of guys are taken.
Yeah. So for me, when I was thinking about this receivers pick, I wasn't necessarily thinking about who might be higher ranked on a big board, because, you know, Pearsall, could be more of a classic slot type of a guy where, if you're looking at like a Keon Coleman type, it'd be more of he didn't test well, so I don't know if he's a second round pick anymore, but he's more of your bigger guy that maybe he's going to win a lot of 50-50 balls down the field type of a guy, I think it's different when you look at the tackles, you kind of rank them, boom, boom, boom. This guy will be here. This guy won't
right.
be. But for receivers, I think if you have an idea of what you want to do as an offense and you think that guy can fit, then there's nothing wrong if you have him ranked a little bit lower on your big board, but you think he's going to be a perfect fit for your offense. And I think you could afford to make that move. So I think Corley is squarely, in that second round conversation. Ricky Pearsall is as well. Leggett is as well. Both those guys were in for visits. There are going to be a lot more receivers, I think, who are going to come for top 30 visits, guys you'll hear about. But I think all those guys are either going to be in that second round range or that third round range. I think that's the latest. Third round is the latest the Steelers will draft receiver just because they have such a big need for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like you said, it's such a big need. And it's not just a receiver. It's the number two right receiver potentially for this team next year. Like they need to find that guy. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson could help there, you know, as like a third option. Calvin Austin could, like they've gotten all these cheaper veteran options there, but they need a legit number two guy who could come in and do that. And Cole would be interesting. Let's move on to your other picks here. I want to talk about, remember the Steelers now have two third round picks with the trades that they've made. Now you went corner, but you went with an interesting pick that I don't think a lot of people have talked about yet when it comes to the Steelers. And that's I'll let you reveal who your corner pick was.
Yeah. This is the only holdover from my previous mock draft. And it's Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers. And I just think if you're going to wait until that point in the draft, and listen, they could take a corner in the second round. That wouldn't completely shock me. But when you're taking a corner on day two, he's not going to be that long, tall corner who runs, who's going to be a projected shutdown corner. You know, the guy you're going to get on day two is a guy, maybe he can play outside, maybe he can play inside. He's that versatile piece you want to be able to move around in your secondary. Doesn't necessarily have to be a starter early in his career. Think Cam Sutton, right? Cam Sutton came in the third round of the 2017 draft. He was nicked up a little bit as a rookie, but once he kind of found his way, he was a very valuable piece for the Steelers because they moved him around. They could play him in the slot with Mike Hilton. They could play him on the outside as he developed into a starter later in his career. So just the way sub-package football works now, I think for value, if you're taking a corner on day two, he's got to have that varied skill set.
Absolutely. I want to talk more about the Ray's picks here because there's one position in particular that he has not addressed in his mock draft yet that I think a lot of Steelers fans are sitting there saying, like, wait a minute, there's no center yet. We'll see where Ray took his center on this next break on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, going over Ray's 3.0 mock draft. We have gone over his first three picks. He has the Steelers taking Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, in the first round. Malachi Corley, the receiver out of Western Kentucky, in the second. And of the Steelers' two third-round picks they have in this draft currently, the first of the third-round picks was Max Melton, a cornerback out of Rutgers, as Ray just talked about in the last segment. He's more of a flex option that could play in the slot, play outside, and the Steelers love their versatility and could use some versatility in their secondary right now. But with the second of the third-round picks, as I kind of teased, who was your pick here for the Steelers?
There's your center, Cedric Van Prong Granger. Thank you, Kenny Pickett, for that extra third round pick. This is where the Steelers will get their center. You know, it's interesting. I think the way I view it, Chris, and I think maybe the Steelers and other teams might have a different thought on this. I kind of view the center position, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, Graham Barton, Zach Frazier. I think those are guys who could step in training camp and become starters day one. I don't know about Van Prong Granger. I think, you know, he's a little bit on the lighter side. He's less than 300 pounds. Doesn't quite come with the pedigree of those others. I think he can be a future starter for you. I think he could be a starter as a rookie, but I think he might get the Broderick Jones type of treatment if he's brought in by the Steelers this year as a mid-round pick. I think it might take him a little bit of time to develop into a starter. But, you know, to me, longtime starter at Georgia, comes from a great program, played with Broderick Jones and those guys. So, you know, there's going to be some familiarity there. I just think he doesn't quite have the athleticism or the size of those other centers, but I still think he could develop into a good long-term starter for you if you develop him right.
I think that could be certainly a great answer. I mean, it's a big need the Steelers have here. Waiting on center, though, and I know the board falls how it falls, and these mock drafts, they're experiments in just seeing what are the possibilities here. But, like, waiting on center, there's some people that think that the Steelers can't afford to do that. What about Cedric Van Prand kind of, you think, extends the kind of range the Steelers have here? And do you see him as, like, the last – well, one, as a day one center, but also, two, is maybe the last day one center? Because Mike Tomlin said they only see a few of those guys right in this draft class.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, listen, some of the other guys, Bo Limmer, you know, there's the kid from Wisconsin who's also kind of like in that early day three type of conversation. I think some of those guys are going to have to be groomed a little bit. They might have to grow into their roles. So whether they're maybe a little bit small and they have to get a little bit bigger, get an NFL strength and conditioning program, or maybe they just need some time to develop overall. And you know, that's just where they are at this stage of their career. It is an uncommonly deep center class, but Tomlin is right. There's probably only 2 to 3, maybe 4 guys who, you know, teams think are plug and play day one starters. And I think Van Praan is probably on the back end of that if he is one of those guys.
I feel you on that. Let's go over some of your other picks here too, because the Steelers do have a good grouping of them here. You know, after that third round pick, going to the fourth round here, you have one of the guys the Steelers are bringing in for a visit, Mason Smith, the huge defensive lineman out of LSU. It is interesting to see different evaluations of him, because some people look at Mason Smith as potentially a fast board riser because he tested so well at the combine. He's 6'5", about over 300 pounds, and we know the Steelers love their big defensive linemen, and so that stacks up well. Why does he fall to the fourth round, though, when people see his testing numbers and his overall size?
Yeah, well, it's not because of the testing numbers, because the testing numbers are great. He's a former five-star recruit who did not live up to his billing at LSU. But when you look at him, 6'6", 315, he's got an NFL five technique defensive end type of a body. He tests like an NFL player, but he hasn't shown that he's an NFL player on the field. And I think, you know, people look at his numbers, you look at his size, he's probably just with those two criteria, he's probably a day one or day two type of a pick. But when you factor in that he really hasn't been a great football player throughout his college career, and the fact that he's coming out after his redshirt sophomore season, I think maybe that's why he's considered more of a late two, early day three type of a pick. So he might not be a guy who's there at number 119 for the Steelers early in the fourth round, but I definitely think that he's a guy who's probably third round-ish, maybe early fourth round, just because he hasn't had that college production to fall back on.
I think that's certainly be interesting. I think that Mason Smith, the Steelers need a defensive lineman, but I think they got to be careful with where they take it in this class, because this is not a strong defensive line class. Like, this is not it. And it's not to say that it's weak. Like, they do, there's talent there. And I've even talked about it, about the defensive line class a bit this year, saying like, hey, there's guys I think that could be really interesting fits in the second, third, and fourth rounds. Mason Smith is one of those guys, but I think the Steelers, with their other needs with center, tackle, corner, receiver, all the things that you addressed in the earlier picks, those needs are kind of higher, and those classes I think are a bit better. You know, the one class I say might, you know, not be quote unquote better is center, but again, they need a center, you know, to probably start this upcoming season. So I think that maybe if you get a Mason Smith, I think that's the best combination of having a high upside of with a draft pick, but also not, you know, spending too high to get it. Because also the thing is here is that Mason Smith's coming in, he don't need to, he's not starting, you know, Cam Hayward, Ogunjobi, and the rise of Keanu Benton, there's less pressure on him to have to figure it out this year. He could spend a year learning the NFL, maybe even 2 years learning the NFL, become before he becomes a starter, and he can just be kind of a rotational piece that you try to make work out in your defensive line. So, Ray, I really like the fit of where he falls in your mock draft.
Yeah, listen, that's the part of the draft too where teams take some chances too, right? That third round, fourth round picks is kind of where you see some of the traits-based prospects come off the board, some of the guys who for whatever reason haven't produced in college, but they got those NFL bodies and they got those great testing numbers that make them really sought after by NFL teams. So if you look at the Steelers' history, too, Loudermilk came in the fifth round a couple of years ago. He hasn't panned out. Leal came in the third round. He hasn't panned out. So it's the part of the draft the Steelers have targeted for that Cam Hayward type of replacement. Maybe this time they hit on it.
Maybe, absolutely. They've been trying to find that guy without spending – the high pick on it. Keanu Benton, I think, was a good addition last year. We'll see how he continues to develop. Let's round out the rest of your picks here, though, in your mock here. 2 6th rounders, no 7th rounders, no 5th rounders right now on the Steelers, the list of picks left. They could always change with different trades and stuff. But with your first 6th rounder, you went Jalen Ford, the linebacker out of Texas. And then with your second 6th rounder, you went Damani Richardson, the safety out of Texas A&M. These are guys that'll be helping in the middle part of the field. And these are also two positions the Steelers, did address in free agency here. And I think these were positions that going into the early part of the draft process where you, me, and Brian and Jerry, we were all talking about who the Steelers might take. Linebacker and safety, I felt like were a higher priority, about a month or two ago. But then with the signing of Deshaun Elliott, with the signing of Patrick Queen, those kind of positions, as far as need-wise, fell for the Steelers here. So you could still add young players to those groups, but why did you take these guys here, and what's the upside that you think, what's kind of the kind of contributions that you think they'll bring to the roster?
Yeah, so I think from my last mock, I had an inside linebacker going in the 4th round, but that was before the Patrick Queen signing. And I think Queen is your 3-down linebacker. He's going to be that guy for the foreseeable future. So they don't really need his replacement, especially if Cole Holcomb comes back, right? I mean, Cole Holcomb can be that kind of backup for both positions next season. What you need now is maybe a future replacement for Landon Roberts, who's entering the last year of his deal. So whether it's Mark Robinson or whether it's a rookie like Jalen Ford coming in, that was my thought process there. And Richardson, listen, at safety, he's not a guy who is a great tester, but he played a lot at Texas A&M. He kind of projects as a back of the roster type of guy. But if you look at where they were at safety at the end of last year, Chris, guys like Trenton Thompson playing, undrafted free agent types, late round pick types of guys, they need another body like that who can maybe compete for a roster spot. So, no promises there that a guy like Richardson would make the roster, but they do need some competition there on the back end.
I think that's the thing, is that rotation, they've certainly got veterans, to address it, but having a guy that's youthful in those rotations could help both linebacker and safety right now. Mark Robinson just hasn't figured it out yet. And who knows, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the time, but I think that gambling on it and just hoping for, hoping that it's going to happen and not investing in the position, I think that's a mistake. If they just hope that that's right. And granted, they got Patrick Queen now, and if they can get Cole Holcomb back, then they have their trio again, and they can work with that group. But if you add a Jalen Ford, even if he's not ready right away, but if he's your 4th option, maybe that's better than a Michael Walker. Maybe that's better than those guys. So I agree with that move there. And I do think the Steelers could use a safety here. Now, I will say, you addressed a lot of, just going back before we head out of here, you address a lot of the needs. You start off offensive tackle. You got center. You got wide receiver. You got a corner there. You got a safety. You got a linebacker. You got defensive line. Now, in your scenario here, because again, Max Melton could be outside, could be inside. Would you go with these picks? If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and let's say they don't add any other major pieces in free agency after this, is Max Melton your slot because you got Dante Jackson this upcoming season? Is that what you're projecting as far as like how you would lay out the defense, or should the Steelers be looking at other options for slot corner moving forward this season?
Yeah, I think if you look at last year, Chris, they added Shannon Sullivan in the middle of the draft. I think it was on day 3 of the draft. Mm-hmm. And they just announced, "Hey, we signed Shannon Sullivan." And people were scrambling in the media room there. Who's Shannon Sullivan? What's his role going to be? Well, it turns out he was your slot corner last year. So you could certainly add a starter late in the free agent process after the draft. And just remember one name. Max Melton might project as the slot if he's picked in the 3rd round. Patrick Peterson has said he would come back. He would come back on a cheap deal. Money wouldn't be an issue. So there would be nothing wrong with Patrick Peterson coming back, still being a mentor to Joey Porter, still playing some in the slot, some at safety, wherever you need him. And then you don't have the pressure of just throwing everything at Max Melton. Max Melton, as a rookie, you got to be the guy. At least you have a veteran there, probably on a cheap contract, who could do that job as well.
Absolutely. He's Ray Fittipaldo. You can read all of his picks and go through the more in-depth analysis that he had in his mock draft at post-gazette.com. That comes out Thursday. Ray, thanks so much for joining me here on the North Shore Drive podcast. We'll be back Friday with Brian Batko, looking at the weekend, heading into the weekend there. Also, you want to stay up to date with all the pit news. We have a big announcement that should be coming out, we believe, later today here at the Peterson Events Center from Jeff Capel and a select player. Is it about Bub Carrington? We'll find out here. Stay tuned at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all our written work. Find this show and all of our podcasting content on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Just search Post-Gazette Sports and you can find us there. Thanks again to our sponsors at Mike's Beer Bar. We're back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.